Somewhat fitting for the period of the 3 weeks, so Hilchos Kuftan Zayin is Hilchos Kiddush Hashem. It is, as we'll see, it's a little bit odd in the way that we attempt to pass in Shilohs here, because besides there being Mutter and Usser, there's also the idea of Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem, and what's good for the Jews. So those all of a sudden become factors in this section of Halacha that one wouldn't expect otherwise. So we might get into a little bit later on as perhaps why that is. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik has a very lengthy article where he discusses how some of this seemed to leave some of our general rules of halacha, but that becomes a little more relevant as we move on in the siman. So for now, at least tonight, we'll get the basics down in the very beginning of Kuflin Zion. So maybe it's just best to see the first 5-6 lines of the Torah and then to go into the Beis Yosef. So the basis of the Torah. So the Torah says, "Kol haverus chutz mevodazara gilei rias v'shichas damim." So all haverus, with the exception of the big three, vodazara, gilei rias, immoral activity, shvichas damim, murder, she'omru la'adam she'yavar aleim oyerag, where a person is told, either violate this or I will kill you. Right? Imhu b'tzina, if it is private. If he wants to, he can violate it and not be killed. Now, that term imirza, you could already see, is a important term, right? A, where does that come from? And B, what does that mean? You know, a person has the choice. Usually we understand a person's life is governed by halacha. So what is imirza? Well, whatever he wants to do, he can do. So we'll see. V'imirza lahachmer la'atzmo, and if he wants to be machmer on himself, right, ulahareg, and be killed, so he is rishai. He's allowed. It's permitted.
Okay. It's never really private, because someone will always hear about it.
No? Okay, so we have to define what does farhesia mean. Not necessarily. The Gemara itself, or the Yerushalmi itself, gives an example of private. V'imhu b'farhesia chayv l'harek v'il yavor. And if it's public, then he is obligated to be killed rather than violate the din. Medver mamurim shagoy mechavin lehaviru aldas. What are we talking about? Where the purpose of the goy's statement is to go against their religion. But if it's only for the benefit of the non-Jew, he only has in mind, I want to have hana from this, so then he could violate it and not be killed. So the classic example of that is Esther. Right? Esther in the beginning, not when Esther goes and seduces Ahasuerus, but in the beginning when Esther is called in. So if you assume Esther is a married woman, how can Esther possibly do that? So the Gemara gives two answers. So one of them is, we pass on like Rava, that, well, Ahasuerus wasn't having, they want to have relations with her because he wanted her to violate the din. He wanted to have relations with her because he wanted to have relations with her. Right? So therefore it wouldn't be a din of Yehoshua Valyavor, at least at that point. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef, this whole sugya starts with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara,
was that technically a... So what is...
Yeah, there is a further question of what exactly
what is
Gilei
Arayos?
Right, yeah. Right. Gilei Arayos is a questionable thing. So the obvious, the easiest Gilei Arayos is... Right, a married woman has an affair with a Jewish man. Right, that is for sure Gilei Arayos. The other ones as well, you know, the prohibitions of incest, those kinds of things. Now there are there one can make a case, and I've probably come across this over the course of the siman, that well, that's only with a Jew, not necessarily with a non-Jew. So what's the whole issue with Ahasuerus in the first place? So this sugya is a ground zero for that discussion. What is the status of a relationship between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man, or vice versa? Okay, so Sof Perek Ben Sora Mora. So at the very end of Perek Ben Sora Mora in Sanhedrin, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan in Beis Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehotzedek, Nimnu V'Gamru Ba'aliyah.
So you start back at
the beginning of the Beis Yosef in Kuf Nun Zion.
Okay. Right,
okay.
I got it.
But
so
Perak,
okay, got it.
Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan, name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzedek, nimnu v'gamru ba'aliyas Beis Nitzah. So it was established in the attic of Beis Nitzah, Belud, in Lud, right near the airport. Kol averu shebetorah, im omrim lo la'adam over v'al tahareg, yover v'al yareg. With all the averus in the Torah, if they tell you, violate it and you won't be killed, you can violate it and not be killed. Chutz mei avodah zarah begila reis v'shichus dam, with those exceptions. So that's, by the way, that's what the Gemara says, right? So this idea that, oh, I have a choice, which seems to be presented in the Torah, is, okay, you got to figure out where that comes from. Upasku kein kol haposkim, and everybody paskins like that Gemara. V'itmar ala b'gemara, and it also comments in the Gemara, the Gemara continues, ki ata rav dimi am rabbi yochanan lo shanu ela shelo b'shas ha-shmat, v'b'shas ha-shmat afilu al mitzvah kala yaharig val yavur. That's called the name of Rabbi Yochanan. It's only if it's not a period of persecution. But if it's a period of persecution, even a mitzvah kala would rise to the status of yaharig val yavur. That's statement one that the Gemara gives, and then it gives another statement. Ki ata rav and am Rabbi Yochanan, also in the same name of the same person. Afilu shelo b'shas hashmad, even if it's not b'shas hashmad, lo amru ela b'tzina, is only in private. Aval b'farhesia afilu mitzvah kala yehorig val yavur. But if it's in public, even a mitzvah kala would be yehorig val yavur. So my kala, so the Gemara basically spells out that we pass on like both of these. I mean, they're both in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and they're both the same, they're both an exception to the rule, right? Either if it's parfarhesia, or if it's and not b'shas hashmad, or it's a shas hashmad and not b'farhesia, right? Both of those would call for yehorig val yavur, even for a mitzvah kala. So what is a mitzvah kala? My kala. So amarava barabi yitzchak amarav afilu shinuye arkasa demisana. Even to change, and it's translated as change one's shoelaces. That would be the mitzvah kala. Now there is, the Shulchan Aruch has, or the Rishonim have a little bit of a debate about what is that. Is that a minug that they're asking you to do? I mean, there's a minug to wear a particular shoelace or to wear it in a particular way? Or is that a din? I mean, that they're telling you to violate, meaning they're telling you to violate chukas agayim. So, I mean, it's a very important distinction. One is, if are they telling you to violate a minhag versus are they telling you to violate a din, right? That's, okay, so we'll get to that. So then, by the way, v'kama farhesia, what is farhesia? So remember, Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and it's still the Gemara. Ein farhesia pechusa mi'asar b'nei adam. There's no farhesia less than 10 people. Now, with that also, you have an issue, because actually, the very next line, right? Vasikna dekuli Yisraelim, and we mentioned that 10 people has to be all Jews. Beinan vaha Esther farhesia have, as the Gemara asks, Esther was farhesia. How does that work? So Amar Abai, Esther karka olam haisa. Well, Esther was karka olam, and Rava says hanas asman shami. And Rava says, well, no, Achashverosh is doing it for his own benefit. Now that also is, that's an interesting point here. Wait a second. Esther didn't have relations with Achashverosh in front of 10 people, right? There weren't 10 other people in the room, we assume, right? Farhesia doesn't necessarily mean that it's in front of the people as much as it means in front of people that know. There's a couple of other interesting issues with Farhesia to think about. One is, does the perpetrator count as one of the 10? Let's say the perpetrator is Jewish, or let's say the perpetrator is not Jewish. That count as one of the 10, because they're responsible also. Those three Averus are also are part of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So does a non-Jew count towards that at all? Now here it says Jews, but do they all have to be Jews? And another issue what about women? Right? Do women? I mean, 10 people. So what's 10 people? So 10 people usually is a code word for a minion of 10 adult males. Mm-hmm. Well, do the mitzvahs of Yehorig Val Yavur, they don't only apply to males, they apply to females also. So, Alan, I don't know if you were there, we gave a shir on this in First Seder. That was one of the halacha shirim for when Yaakov talks to the 10 sons. So the Gemara there makes a comment that this is one of the sources for a minyan. So we talked about this in that context. So, available on yutorah.org, that shir.
Okay.
I checked today. So Rava Amar Hanas Atzman Shani. So Va'azda Rava Latana. So why was Esther okay? So the Gemara itself has a machlokas about that. So Esther was okay, A, because Karka Olam, that she just sat there, she wasn't active in the process. Or Rava says, well, Achashir is doing it for his own benefit. Okay, fine. The Gemara continues. This is all the Gemara. Va'az the Rava Lataime, and Rava is Lishitasa. Rava is following his own idea. Why Dama Rava? Goy da Amar Le Lahai Yisrael. Katol Asafsafsa B'Shabbos B'Shadi L'Chiyusa. If a non-Jew tells a Jew, cut Asafsasa is some kind of vegetable. Cut this vegetable on Shabbos and feed it to the animals. V'ilo katlinalach. If not, I'm going to kill you. Likta v'lo liktulia. You can cut it and don't be killed. However, Shadai Benari says, cut those vegetables and then throw it in the river, meaning put them to waste, meaning I don't really care that you're doing it, I'm just doing it because I want you to be Machal Shabbos. So Liktale velo Liktal. So then he should be killed rather than cut it. Right? So that has some implications for forced labor camps and things like that, right? Clearly. Okay, so my taima. So Avuri Milsakavai, was he was just telling him to do it, was he wanting him to violate the din? He wasn't actually getting any benefit from it. Fine. Upasku haposkim, period. So that's the end of the Gemara. So now, how do we pass? Upasku haposkim chalishna de Rav Dimi, the chalishna de Ravin, mashva, the sviru to travaihu amin and Rabbi Yochanan, umar marchadu velo pligi. Right? That they both were saying according to Rabbi Yochanan, and we assume Rabbi Yochanan said once, and he said the other one, meaning both halachos of the idea of Shas Hashmad as well as the idea of Farhesia. So both of those are quoted by Rabbi Yochanan, they're not necessarily contradicting one another, they're not arguing with one another, and therefore we paskin like both of them. Okay? So that's the Gemara. We pass like both of them, meaning that even if it's for any of the other mitzvos, if it's either Shas Hashmad or in front of 10 people, you would have to violate any din rather than be killed rather than violate any din.
Yeah. The thing whether the guy is getting pleasure from it or doing it to force you to violate the religion, that applies when?
That seems that it would apply even beyond this. Meaning any even those cases where we say Yehorig Val Yavur, so assuming it's not one of the big three, you can that would override Shas Hashmad or Farhesia, it sounds like. Meaning that's the question was raised based on Esther. I wasn't Esther Bifarhesia, she was violating Gilai Arayos. So the answer is no, that either one is that, well, no, that's okay because she was okay because Achashverosh was doing it for his own Hana. So that overrides the Farhesia din, and therefore she didn't have to die rather than violate that din.
In this case of Shabbos, it's not one of the big three.
Right.
It's not Bifarhesia, right? Not necessarily.
So I think that would have to be one of those two scenarios, either that it's Shas Hashmad or that it's.
What do you think so?
Yes.
And then you could still do it if it was for his benefit.
If it was for his benefit, it sounds like that would then be okay, right?
Yeah, even if it's Shas Hashmad or before his, you could still do it if it was his benefit.
Right, so my mind raced to in a work camp, right? So where you're allowed to go to work on Shabbos in a Nazi concentration camp, right? So
sometimes
I think they did. What?
Well, sometimes the work was productive.
Right, but I think you could. In theory, there was some productive nature to it. So if there was a productive nature, so you'd be able to do it. Even it also, and if there was a. If there was a non-productive nature, but it wasn't to get you to violate the din of Shabbos, I mean, let's say they just want you to go and chop stones, but the implication of the Gemara is, well, he wants you to throw it in the river, but he only has in mind that he wants you to violate Shabbos. But if they just have in mind that they want to work you to death, so that's not necessarily the same thing. Okay, so all right, Peirush Rashi. So afilu mitzvah kalas, what would Yehorig Val Yavar, so even mitzvah kalas, what would that be? Why would that be? Shelo yargilu hagayim lahamrich halavavos lekach. So that the goyim don't get used to terrorizing the people in this way. Hopefully that'll be clarified as the Buvalon. I'm not sure what Rashi meant by that. I mean, we have to stand up for ourselves at that point. That's what it sounds like Rashi's saying. But is that true? I mean, that's going
to
keep.
Still doesn't tell you what a mitzvah kala is.
No, it hasn't told you what a mitzvah kala is. I mean, the Gemara has told you even this thing. Now,
the shoelace
thing. That's the Gemara. Now, why is that the thing? So that's the next comment that the Beis Yosef has. Arkas at the Masana, which is really quoting from Rashi. So Sarah Hanal, the shoelace, Shim Derech HaGoyim Likshra Kach, Derech Yisrael Likshra Bin and Acher, right? The non-Jews do it one way, and the Jews do it another way, that there's like a Jewish, you do it in a Jewish star or something. There's a special Jewish style. Derech Yisrael Liyos Tzenuim, and the ways of Jews is to be more Tzenua, Afilu Shinui Zeh, even this change, which isn't a mitzvah, but rather only a minag, ba'alma, yikadesh Hashem b'fnei chaver of Yisrael. You would still be mekadesh Hashem in front of your Jewish friends. Right? So that's Rashi. Rashi explicitly uses the term minhag. Right? That's what Rashi, you see that, right? Rashi, even if they're only telling you to violate minhag, so that would be an issue. However, v'zeh l'shono ha'rif, the way the Rif says it is, afilu arkasa d'misana, so how does he spell it out? Perish, ha'goyim sheva'osuzman hayiritzuz shel menaleim adumos, that the non-Jews in those days would wear red shoelaces, v'yisrael hayiosin shecharos, and the Jews would wear black shoelaces. Why? K'dei shelo yilbashu malbush nachri, because they specifically didn't want to wear malbush nachri. So v'chasav ha'ma'arik b'shorish peiches, t'bedafka nakat, Harif Shagoyim Hayosin Adumos Vayhudim Shacharos, that the Rif specifically made that point that the non-Jews do one thing and the Jews do another thing. Why? The Bahai Gavna Hu Diyesh Lahakbid Shein Derechatznum Lios Edom, that they are being makbid because Tznuim don't wear red little Vosham, but Seva Hashachor Hu Derech Tznius, and black is more Tznius Vahachna and right, yeah, and humility. Bahainu could the perish Rashi, the dafka sheish butzad yadus vitznius. And that's what Rashi's pshat was, that specifically there is a tzad yadus vitznius. Period. Yeah, now he doesn't, right, but he doesn't say it explicitly here. Now, later on, they do make that point. I'm just looking to see where that is. No, there's no law, but to...
That's the whole point. So what is Kuko
saying? Yeah, so on later on in the Beis Yosef, I don't know if we'll get up to it, but later on in the Beis Yosef, he quotes from the... Well, he quotes a pshat in the Rif. The Beis Yosef gives his pshat in the Rif, that it might not be that what the Rif is saying is not necessarily that it's only a minug, but that it then rises to the point of uvichuseim lo seilechu, and uvichuseim lo seilechu is not a minug, it's a din, right? And therefore a minug, it sounds like one can get around, but if it's a din, so then it becomes a problem. There is there's an article that Menachem Butler sent out a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if anybody here is on his familiar. All right, so he sends out these articles every once a week or once every other week. It's interesting stuff. So I printed out this article. I got through a couple of pages. I'm not sure what happened to it. I got printed out again about the clothing, the Russian clothing dictates of the 1800s. So they made rules about clothing, which was obviously to get the Jews to change their traditional style of dress, and that became a major issue. And you throw things, Horigval Yavor, to not wear a Bekesha, right? So I didn't get that far into the article, but I would assume that, why do Hasidim dress the way they dress? So I say, well, that's the way that they dress in the old country. So any Hasid will admit that that's not the way that Rashi dressed, that's not the way that the Bali Tosos dressed, that's not the way, when the Jews left Egypt, they weren't wearing their Bekesha and Strimals, unless you look in certain Haggadahs they might, but we generally assume that they weren't wearing, an honest moment, they will probably admit that the Jews were not wearing Bekeshas and Strimals when they left Egypt. So why is it that we specifically point to, in the year 18, the way the Jews dressed in 1820, that's the way we're going to dress the Olam Vaed. So I think because it probably came about because of those rules. I mean, it was imposed upon them, these things. It became a very important thing to dress as a Jew, as opposed to dress as a non-Jew. Right? And therefore, that stuck even from that era onwards, as opposed to before. I mean, that became part of the Hasidic modus operandi, as opposed to focusing on going further back beyond that. That's my.
So 1820, you just didn't pick that.
I just picked that date. I'm not sure when it was, but one of the czars in that era, in the early 1800s, the czars were very difficult, and that was they imposed clothing rules. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Alright, so that's Rashi in the Rif, okay. Then he goes on, by the way, the Maharik, I meant to check, I'm not sure if that's the same Maharik or not, but the Maharik is the one who has the important tshuva on Chukas Hagoyim. I mean, the famous Maharik about doctor's clothing. So he has a shaila about doctor's clothing. Are you allowed to wear doctor's clothing, or is that a violation of Chukas Hagoyim? So I'm not sure if this is the same tshuva or not, but the Maharik is the starting point, really, for the halachos of Chukas Hagoyim. Well, I shouldn't say the starting point. There's gemaras about it, but okay. So then he asks, V'im Taimar. Davin Tomer. Okay. Hichi Amrinan Hacha da Filua Arkasa de Misana Yaharik Val Yavor. And if you ask, well, how could we say here that even the shoelaces is Yaharik Val Yavor? Baha Amrinan Perek Bametomnim. But we have a Gemara in Bametomnim. In the fourth parak of Shabbos, or the fifth parak, fourth parak of Shabbos. Belisha Bal Knafayim. With Elisha, the Bal Knafayim, he of wings. Who's Elisha Bal Knafayim? You remember the story? Shekeshara uhu kasador echad, that a certain officer saw him, so natal tefillin meirosho. He took his tefillin off of his head. Period. That's all he tells you. But it tells the story that the soldier ran after him and he kept his tefillin in his hands. And the soldier asked him, "What do you get up? Well, like, what do you have there?" And he opened this. He said, "I have a bird." He said, "Let's see." And then he opened it up, and a bird flies away. Right? That's that Gemara. So that's why we have our minhag is to wrap the tefillin the way that we do, to kind of like match a bird, and based on that idea. So the Gemara asks, "Wait a second, v'hasam shasa shmathaya." Right? Why is he hiding his tefillin? It must have been a period of Shas HaShmat, right? It must have been a period of difficulty. So wait a second. So shouldn't he have then done Yehoreg Vayavor? Meaning, shouldn't he have left his tefillin on and not run away from the non-Jew? Right? Why is he taking off his tefillin? It's a Shas HaShmat. Should be Yehoreg Vayavor. That's the kasha that the Ran asks. So Teretz HaRan, Beperek Bametomim. So the Ran there in the Sefer Shabbos says, Delo Amru Yehoreg Vayavor El Lavor Al Mitzvah Lo Sasei. He says the only idea of Yehoreg Val Yavor that we extended this to is if it's a lotase. But if it's, right, you shall violate the Shabbos. You shall wear shatnas. You shall do something like that. If they make a gezeir, if anybody does a mitzvah ase, if anybody puts on tefillin, they're going to be put to death. So suggests the Gemara. So then shevi al tase. So sit still. Don't violate anything. Don't violate their rules, and you just won't do the mitzvah sase. Va'od shehem yichom levatam menu al korcha. That what's going to happen if he gets caught wearing tefillin? So let's say either they'll kill him or he'll be put in jail. Right. So is he going to be able to put on tefillin in jail? Probably not. Right. Va'od shehem yichom levatam menu al korcha. Sheyanichenu beveis ha'isur mitivatam aleha. Right, he's not going to be able to do it. Hilkach tivatel. Therefore, it's better for him to be mavatel the mitzvah va'al yarig and not be killed. At the end of Mitzvah Mor. So the Ran gives two answers to the question, which have halachic ramifications. Right, number one, it doesn't apply to mitzvahs assays, and number two, it doesn't apply to it doesn't apply to mitzvahs assays if it was a shevi al tase, and B, it doesn't apply to mitzvahs assays because you end up losing out more by not being able to do more mitzvahs. Now, is Iran really suggesting both, or is Iran suggesting one? I mean, which is the Ran's real answer? Right? Is he paskening here, and how would that then apply to me? So it seems like what comes out doesn't apply to mitzvah sase, but perhaps one can figure out scenarios where it would. I mean, let's say there would be an afkamina between these two answers. Let's say there would be a lotase to not violate biadayim. I'm not sure if there's a come up with that on the. On the spot, but maybe there might be ramifications between those two answers.
What about learning Torah just now? So is that an exception?
Right. So what about learning Torah? So there is an issue with Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva. Yeah. So we'll have to. Wednesday night is the Rabbi Akiva shir. Okay. So we'll come up with something by then. Rabbi Akiva is discussed in that Dr. Salvechik article. He's discussed probably that thing. I read through it quickly. I got to go back and figure out exactly what he said. Okay. So, continue on a little, some more in the Beis Yosef, perhaps. Thanks. Omasha kasu rabbeinu al shar ve'oshim hu b'tsina im yirtze yaharik. So, okay, so what about this thing that the Torah said, that if you want to, that it's optional. That if you want to, you could violate the din. So hu bedivrei smak. So where do you get that from? That's from the smak. Hu bedivrei haran perek bametomnim. And that ran which we just quoted, so that ran goes on and says that. V'chein kasav harash beperek ein ma'amidim, v'hevi raya miha Yerushalmi. It brings a proof from a Yerushalmi. I looked up that rush, and I'm forgetting what the proof was from the Yerushalmi. Apologize about that. We have these Rishonim saying that based on that, that Gemara and Bametomnim, what was he doing in the first place? How could he put on tefillin in the first place? That's the kasha. He said, well, so if you want to, you have the right to perhaps put your life at risk. But the Rabbein Yerucham makes a distinction. He says, if it's a shas l'shma because the non-Jew wants to, you want to abolish Yiddishkeit, so then you have the option of, well, sorry, that wouldn't be, then you would have to do it anyways. But if that particular is not a shas l'shma and he privately tells you to do something for his own, because he wants to get you to violate the din, so then it's optional. But if he only wants to do it because he, for his own hana, so then he's called a chovel ba'atzma. Fine. V'delo ka Rambam, but that's against the Rambam, right? The Rambam famously.
Chovel ba'atzma? Sorry, what is that?
You're called a chovel ba'atzma. If you violate the, if the non-Jew says violate Shabbos, because I want somebody to drive to Giant and pick up some sushi.
Oh, right.
Right? So you would be mechuyev to, otherwise I'll kill you. Right? So you would have to do it. And if you say, no, I'm going to, it says if I want to dial Kiddush Hashem, I have the right to dial Kiddush Hashem. So you would be chovel ba'at, you would be considered somebody who damaged yourself. You would be mischayev, or mischayev benafsha is also a term that you use. You'd be chayev for your own life because you shouldn't have done that. So with the loka Rambam, against the Rambam, why? Shekasa perek hei behilchos yisori atayra, shehu mischayev benafsha. That any case, that if you don't have to give up your life, and you do, so then you'd be chayev misa. That's the Rambam's language, right? You give up your life already, but you have violated a din that is worth giving up misa, that is worth giving up, that you shouldn't have done. Uvid.
Okay. Yeah, it's Reuven's people.
No,
I'm tired. Also holds that, you know, he holds that you can.
Right, that's the sin.
No, I mean, if you don't really have the option to do it.
Right, that's the salacha. He's going against the rush.
Yeah, the other way around. If you're, I think the Torah said, if you're told you have to kill someone, you don't feel like getting killed, you can do it. He said it at the beginning.
No, you can't kill somebody. I mean, those three halachos are for sure in the Gemara. You're not allowed to kill somebody. I mean, what the Torah said, if you want to be machmir and not violate and die rather than violate Shabbos, so then you have the right to do so. That's what the Torah says. So this Rambam argues. This Rambam says, no. What do you mean? If besides those three, if you decide you're going to give up your life rather than violate anything else other than those three, you're mischayev benafsha. You
those three.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Divrei HaRambam Sefer Torah Sa'adam, notum Divrei HaRambam, and the Ramban seems to pass on like the Rambam as well. So the Beis Yosef is filling out this machlokas, right? And so far you have the Rush and the Ran on one seat, on one side, and you have the Rambam and the Ramban on the other side. V'nimukei Yosef is sof perek ben Sorumor, kasav k'Divrei HaRambam. Okay, another one to the Rambam side, right? Umikol makom kasav sh'imhu adam gadol. Now the Mukei Yosef adds though, but if he is an adam gadol, chasid v'yirei shemayim. Right, he's a really righteous person. Veroish ador parts, and he sees that the generation is falling apart. Bekach rishai lekadish hashem v'limser atzmo. He can be mekadish hashem and be moser nefesh. Do it. Ifilu amitzah kala k'deishu yiro am liyira hashem v'lavo b'chol libam. In order that the nation will see it and they will then fear Hashem and love Him with all their heart. Now, a bit of a problem because if it's supposed to be for Hesia. So then, he has to do it anyways, right? In that the din, so you got to figure out what that the Mukhi Yosef. What exactly is that scenario you're talking about? I mean, if he's doing it in order to publicize it to the people, so then that means it's something that's b'far hesia. If it's something b'far hesia, you're obligated to give up your life anyways, right? So what exactly is that talking about? All right, we'll have to leave that as a kasha.
So b'far hesia, even if it's a minor thing, you're obligated to give up your life. Not as much.
Right, that's the point. So what's he talking about? But if you're a tzaddik and you want to spread the word and be mekayesh in shemayim in front of the congregation, in front of the nation, so then you have the right. You have the right to do so.
Well, maybe the word would get out. If
you, but that's still considered b'far hesia.
Oh, really?
Right, with Esther, the word got out. Now the truth is, even with Esther, one can make a case though that it's a little bit different. This has, I think, some relevance today also. But the issue with Esther is she's publicly living with him. Now, she's not publicly having relations with him in front of everybody, but she's publicly living with him. And everybody knows that when you're living with somebody, there's other things that happen as well. So this I think has some relevance to the modern debate of homosexual marriages and stuff, and what that place is in the Orthodox world. They make the case, well, they're married. That doesn't mean anything. Well, no, it does. that's the point of that Gemara with Achashverosh. So, all right. So maybe one can make a case that if it's not in public, but it's something that would get out, and it's not a Gilui Arayos thing, so maybe one can. I don't know. So behind that, but yeah, I don't know how. Right, that Yosef requires a little bit of more research. Okay, behind the Aminan also in Maseches Pesachim, we learned this. We covered this when we learned Daniel. Maro Chananya Mishael VeAzariah Shepilus Asmen LeKiv Shoneish. Why did Chananya Mishael and Azariah see that they allowed themselves to be put into the furnace? Right. So Perish Lo Hishtachvu LeTzelem. They didn't bow down to this, to the image, but as we learned, at least the Gemara understands that it's not a Avodah Zarah, meaning it wasn't, wouldn't have been, it wasn't what Nebuchadnezzar built, that big image of himself, right? It wasn't a din of Avodah Zarah. It was a din of giving kavod to Nebuchadnezzar. It was just a way of giving kavod to the king. So ela mitoch shehayu ruvan toim v'sefurim shehaisa avodah zarah hay kiddush Hashem v'mesha asu. So he answers that, well, because most people, everyone's bowing down to this big statue or whatever it was, so it looks pretty much like a avodah zarah, and therefore we're going to consider it to be. It was considered to be allowed, meaning because people would have that impression that already it fits under the example of Avodah Zarah, and therefore they were permitted to give up their life for it. Now, that would be the way the Rambam would answer it. The others might answer that, no, the Ran could say, well, it's an appropriate thing to do, and therefore we're going to go ahead and, we're going to be most nefesh rather than do it. It also is a comment in the Medrash. Ma lecha yotzi lisakel shemalasi esbini. Malcha yotze li tzalev shenatalti es halulav. That there is I looked at this medrash today, that there is this medrash in the middle of Vayikra that says that how the non-Jews are, what the ultimate punishment is going to be. So their ultimate punishment is going to be, the medrash says that they're going to go to Gehenim, or they're going to go wherever they go, and they're going to see the tzaddikim being much better off. That's what the Medrash describes. Mm-hmm. So they say, why did you get skila? So they say, well, because I gave mila to my son, and that's why I'm in this spot. That's what the Medrash says. And malacha yotze litzalev, why are you getting litzalev? I forget what that is. But he says, shenatalti es alulav, because I picked up a lulav. So what does it sound like from that medrash? It sounds like those people died in order to do these mitzvos that are not one of the big three. Right? The mashar shayu mosu na'atzma kiddush Hashem lifnim mishuras adin. So devadai lo hayu mechuyavim bekach afil b'shas hashmad. So they're not obligated to do it even b'shas hashmad. Kiven shebi yadun lahavir ulevatlam. Because they could just not do it and be mevatel it. El da filu hachi hayu neharag mifnei shehayis b'shas tzrich lekach. But yet they did it anyways, because of b'shas tzrich lekach. So the Beis Yosef seems to be coming down like that in Luke Yosef. That either you could say that it is optional, or you could say that, well, even according to the Rambam and the Ramban, they would have to say that there are some people that it would be optional for. That perhaps it is subjective, that there would be times when, even though it might not technically fit under the realms of of Yehorig Val Yavor, still one would be required to do so. So what should we do? Should we look just a little bit, 3-4 lines in Shulchan Aruch? Let's just do the first 3-4 lines in Shulchan Aruch. See, it's one of the very long sifim. Simen Kuf Nun Zayin in Shulchan Aruch.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm going to sit in.
Oh, sure. Okay, we're almost finished. But you came in at the right time. You're going to get the summary, because it's the...
So says the Shulchan Aruch. Kol haveris shebetorah chutz meavodas kolchav megilei arayos v'shlichus dam. So all the haveris in the Torah, with these exceptions, im omrim lo la'adam sheyavar aleim o yerag. Right? If they tell a person, either violate them or we will kill you. Imu bitzina yavor v'al yarek. So if it is in private, he should do it. He should do violate the din and do and be rather than be killed. V'im yirtzel, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this though. V'im yirtzel lahachmar l'atzum v'liharek rishai. But if he wants to be machmer himself and be killed, he's permitted. If the idea behind the non-Jew is to try to get them to violate the din, if he's only trying to get him, you know, sushi, get him sushi from Giant, so then that wouldn't be okay. But if he has in mind that he wants them to actually violate the din, so one can even has the right to even extend the halacha outside that realm. So it seems like what? It seems like the mechaber is paskening against the Rambam. Now that's somewhat against the rules. Now I don't know if we have a psak of the riff, but it seems to be somewhat against the rules. So let's just take a quick look at the Shach. The Shach in Sif Aleph points out, he says, Bach, the Bach himself, Pasuk HaRambam. Rambam is like the Rambam. What do you mean? The Chom Yishadino La'avor Va'al Yaharig, V'nerog V'alo Avar. If a person, if it's a din that it's not Yaharig V'al Yavar, he should violate the din rather than be killed, and he gets killed rather than violates the din. So he's Mischayes Benafsha, right? V'chein Das HaBeis Yosef, and that's also the Das of the Beis Yosef. Now, it's unclear if that's really a Das of the Beis Yosef. First of all, he doesn't pass in that way in Shulchan Aruch, and B, we just read the Beis Yosef. It's not, he doesn't really come to a conclusion on it.
I have Nun Yud here.
V'chein Das Ha...
Nun Yud.
Oh, Nemuke Yosef.
Nemuke Yosef.
Interesting. Okay, so we read that Nemuke Yosef also. That makes more sense. That's the das. It is the das of the Nukhi Yosef. So the Nukhi Yosef is the one who added the din that for special people maybe there would be an exception to the rule. Okay. V'chein nira dat. Does it put in like brackets, parentheses, or anything? It just no, just says Nukhi Yosef. Can I borrow your pen for, pencil for a second?
Can you give me pen pencil? Addition is more authoritative.
Yes.
You had basic.
Okay. So V'hu Haran Perek Yom Kippurim in the eighth Perek of Maseches Yuma Uvehaga Mimaharich Rish Perek Kamad Ksuvos Kasu Imrotz LaHachmor LaAtzov VeLarik Heichad the Kaim LaNyaver VaHarik Tzarich Iyun Ishari Olo. And you bring the Ran who quotes this idea that well, if one wants to violate, one wants to die rather than violate the din, one has to see whether it's permissible or not. Okay, that's one side. And right? So generally, so how do we paskin? Meaning we have machlokas on Rambam on one side, and we have the Rush on the other side. Right? There's other Rishon on both sides, but essentially machlokas, Rambam, Rush. So how do we paskin? So the Trumas Hadeshin says, well, usually when it's Dini Nefashos, which this is, you paskin Lakula. Right? That's how we paskin. But which way is Lakula? Right? Which way is Lakula? So it's just a kind of nefashos, because I mean Ba'amla, Safik nefashos lahakel. Right? Usually we say Safik nefashos lahakel. Amnam yeshlomar hacha, the union kiddush Hashem, shalohik pida Torah al ibn nefashos. But here, meaning the whole issue of kiddush Hashem is pushing, it puts the idea of loss of life out of the picture. I mean, that's normally a halachic value that might not be a halachic value here when you're trying to figure out the din of whether it requires zakanas nefashos or not, right? Even nefashos mi Yisrael. Lo yafinan la mishar sveikos delays behu mishum kiddush Hashem. So we can't really learn from other sveikos where there's no kiddush Hashem. V'nira delafia inyan v'shirun anu kavanasom morin lo. And therefore, according to the idea, the way one sees it, you should pass them. I mean, he doesn't come to a conclusion. You should like judge each case subjectively. So now this is a big issue. This is really what Dr. Grach's article is about, that those Kedoshim that killed themselves rather than stand up, because they were afraid they wouldn't be able to stand up to the test, Kedoshim Gemurim Heim, that they're full of Kedoshim, V'raya Mishaul, U'mivia Bach V'kin Kasav B'beis the Kabayis, meaning the Beis Yosef adds that in, B'shem Orchos Chaim, Miyu Kasav Orchos Chaim, Sham Sheish Cholkim, She'enu Yachol Haragas, for those that disagree, Ayin Sham Shaharach, see there where it's expanded, and Mirtu Hashem will cover that next week. All right, stop here.